does repentance in prayer look like? Thank you for listening to the Handing It to Jesus podcast. It's the podcast where we hand our deepest struggles over to Jesus for peace. And joining me today is Matt Tilley. Hey, Matt.
Hello.
And my name is Craig Faust. So let's get to answering this. Repentance is it's kind of a weird thing to talk about. Like, people get maybe a little bit odd around it.
Mm-hmm. So I think we feel an angst when we hear that word. Mm-hmm. Like, I've done something bad. You're telling me I've done something bad, that I have to acknowledge and name something that I've done that is bad. And I think it's because there's a lot of shame wrapped up when we hear that word.
Totally.
Because often what we might hear, if we get up in arms when we hear that word repentance, is not that, yes, you've sinned and you've done something bad, but what we might hear is, I'm bad. I'm a sinner, as opposed to I have sinned.
Yes.
Right? And I think shame makes repentance incredibly difficult, if not impossible.
Yeah. So let's actually break this down just a little bit. So, like, let's first of all talk a little bit about repentance, or what repentance is. So whenever Jesus would announce himself to different crowds, often what he would say is, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, or the kingdom of heaven has arrived.
Yeah. Or if he would be one-on-one with somebody, usually somebody that the Pharisees would deem a sinner, always what he would do is he would be compassionate, kind, loving towards them, have a meal with them, engage in some form of communication with them, some level of intimacy with them.
Right.
And then he would also encourage them towards repentance.
Right.
Repent and follow me.
So, like, repentance is just this recognition, or this experiencing of this, like, remorse or regret for the sin. Right.
Yeah, it's a turning away from something wrong or sinful that we are doing or have done. And it's also a turning toward right living, or turning toward the source of life, which is Jesus.
So, like, if we think about this, right, just imagine this fork in the road, and we've been heading down this path, and then we start recognizing that the path is not leading to where we want to go. It's not leading to life. Yeah. And so, like,
we know that there's a cliff maybe at the end of that
road. Sure. Like, and so we have this recognition, this acknowledgement, this awareness that, like, wait, I'm going down the wrong path. And that's where this, like, regret or remorse happens. I've walked down this path for this many times. I've had these consequences. I've suffered in this way. And then the other part of repentance after that, like, acknowledgement, is being able to turn. Right, you're returning back towards God. We're turning back towards that path. So, if you want to think about it and, like, use that image, and the question is, like, how do we turn this into prayer? Like, well, what does that look like in prayer? Because most certainly, while you're praying about handing over your deepest struggles to Jesus, and just like with our last episode, so hopefully you started with conversations around that, and whatever those conversations, whatever those prayers look like, is a good start. Right, just being able to talk to God about it is a good start. And what will likely happen as you're praying is you will get in the space of repentance, where we're praying to God and there's this acknowledgement about the sin, acknowledgement about what it's done to us, what it's
like
done
taking
to others.
It seriously, right?
Yes.
And seeing the full weight of its consequences, not just on you, but on your relationship with God and on other people around you, how it's affected you, right? That no sin that we ever commit is really just isolated to us, though we are tempted to believe that that is true.
Absolutely. Or we want to believe that's true. Yeah. So, like, the thing is, whenever we start to pray about repentance, so again, this is the same thing with prayer, right? There's no specific format. Mm-hmm. But what we're wanting to do is try to get our heart in the game the most. Right. So the thing about repentance is allowing your heart to pivot to a position of true repentance is going to allow you to be, again, completely bare and vulnerable before God. It's going to be a different experience for you, and it's going to increase the chances of you experiencing some type of comfort from God in these moments. All right, having a true heart of repentance is maybe a saying that you've heard before, and that's what we're just trying to increase the chances for you in prayer to be able to do this, because it's something you're going to want to do while you're praying about the struggle that you're handing over to Jesus, because mm-hmm. the struggle that you're having likely is related to sin.
Yep.
Right? So, like, let me use an example. Whenever I'm praying for repentance about my stinginess or my lack of generosity, which a lot of it ties to this not feeling like enough, whenever I am doing the prayer about this and I'm specifically trying to access this part of me that's feeling this remorse, this regret for what I've done, I'm going to want to take time to like upload some of these memories, to like think back whenever we were, doing that, those first two sections, right, where we're talking about the discern, where we're talking about the recognize, where we're really wanting to get that full impact, especially the recognize, where we talk about the consequence. We're really trying to upload this impact and turn to God in prayer. Let's pray about that. Let's offer like the suffering. And what Matt was saying earlier is just so pivotal. So likely what will happen while you're doing this is you'll experience guilt and shame, or one or the other, but likely that you often
almost,
they come together.
Almost 100%, I think you probably will if you're a human being.
Yeah. And if you're not, that's okay.
If you're not a human being.
No. Like
if you don't experience this,
your heart just may not be quite in the position. And what I would advocate is it's still good to pray about it, even if your heart's not fully in it yet. Yeah. You're getting yourself in that position to hopefully soften your heart over time.
That's right.
And that's okay, right? So that's part of what the habitualness of prayer is to try to get us in that place to fully accept the gravity of what's going on. And some days we're going to be better at it than other days. Some days we just can't emotionally get in it enough. But praying is still important in those times. So like when we're praying about the struggle and we're trying to access, like give yourself that time to kind of get yourself in that position where you're like you're uploading those consequences and you're talking to God about that. Just pray about it. Right? About the consequences. Allow the conversation to flow. And then you're always wanting that turn towards God, right? Yeah. Where you're asking Jesus for help, asking Jesus for forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And that guilt and shame is going to jump you. And as it does, it's going to want you to stop praying. It's going to want you to not feel like God's going to forgive you. It's going to make you want to not accept grace.
Right. I've got to do this for myself instead. I've got to figure out a way to live with myself. Or I don't want to name this with God or talk about it because I am going to feel like, well, I'm dumb. I'm stupid. I'm not good enough.
Right.
I don't work enough. I'm lazy. I mean, whatever it is, like those are all shame statements. Like what you just said a little while ago.
I'm not enough.
I'm not enough. That's your shame showing up in that
Absolutely.
Moment. And
so
there is that difference between the shame and conviction.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Thank you for saying that. There is a difference.
Big difference.
There is a difference. Can you talk to us a little more about that?
Sure. Yeah. There's a godly guilt and there's a worldly guilt. Worldly guilt, I think of it as that shame. Godly guilt, I think of it as that conviction. It's only when we feel that conviction that we can grieve, and that grief softens the soil so that we can actually repent and turn away from the thing that we've done that's not good or healthy or wise for us, and turn towards the cross and allow Jesus to soak into our lives, right? But what that shame looks like is, I'm a bad person. I'm not good enough. I'm stupid. I suck. Whatever it is, it's usually some version of an I am statement. It's about us. It's about who we are.
Absolutely.
Conviction is very different. Conviction is, I have done a stupid thing. But who I am is a son of the Most High King or a daughter of the Most High King. Who I am to my core is His. I have inherent worth and dignity and value. And I also struggle with this thing.
Right.
It's instead of saying, I am a porn addict, it's saying, I am a child of God who struggles with pornography. And, you know, there's this idea, again, to use evidence-based approaches, this idea with social labeling, that sometimes it's not super helpful for our mental health to label ourselves as something, because then we start identifying ourselves as that thing, as our struggle.
Right.
And then it's very hard to find any growth or wiggle room to do anything besides our struggle.
Right.
And so we see this, I think, with, you know, there's a problem with how people receive diagnosis as well in the mental health world. And sometimes it's not very helpful to give a diagnosis, even though maybe insurance wants to see a diagnosis for them to cover, you know, your sessions, which is aggravating. But more often than not, it's more helpful to label ourselves in a true way, the way that God thinks of us. Yes. And to name that my action is the thing that is wrong, not me. And that's the difference between conviction and shame.
Right. Unless the, so like when we talked about like that emotional journey that, you know, we talked about during the grieving, always ending that with God, how good God is, that desire for closeness with God. And so like, I want to give you an example of repentance. Like those of you that may really know me, maybe you don't want to hear this. So like, this is just like your fair warning. But like, I'll talk a little bit about lust, right? So there was, it's been about a year and a half now. I can't remember if I've talked about this on this podcast or not, where I was sitting in a sermon and it wasn't even that good of a sermon, in my opinion. And, but
the Holy Spirit was moving.
Holy Spirit was moving. So like, I say it wasn't a good sermon because like, I didn't want like the result that happened there. I wanted to keep doing what I was doing. And I remember there was something about what the pastor said, boom, hit me. And as soon as it hit me, I had already known what I was doing was wrong. And what I was doing is I wasn't looking at porn, but my eyes would follow women I found that were attractive. I would see scantily clad pictures of women just like going on Facebook, and like my eyes would linger too long. All these things that I would justify in my mind wasn't a big deal because I wasn't looking at porn. I wasn't supporting that industry. Like all these different things that we do that we lie to ourselves about the sin or the depth of our sin. And so
I'm not doing X, so it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Or I'd be like, oh, like I'm not masturbating to this all the time, so it's not a big deal. The problem is that all those reasons melted away whenever I felt that conviction that like what I was doing was wrong. So I had a choice there, and it isn't the first time that I got the choice. This isn't the first time that God convicted me. This was just the time that I was like, that I was in a position where whenever God convicted me, I was like, I have a choice here. And I had a choice many times before, but God didn't leave me there. God kept convicting me about it. And I'm pretty sure it was probably years of convicting me before whenever he did it this time, my heart was in the place that I was like, this is wrong and I can't allow it to continue. And right after service, we went home. I had a conversation with my wife about it. Talked about it. Conversation went much better than what I could have imagined. Before I even did that, though, there was a prayer of repentance to God in these moments where I was talking about how I can see how this has affected my marriage, how it's affected my attentiveness, how it's affected my lusting and my fantasizing about different things. And how this was me abusing other images of God and my own fantasies. And so that prayer of repentance was very painful. And the thing that I wanted to do was not think about it. I wanted to leave that sanctum, go to the bathroom and you know, kind of go get some coffee or whatever. Yeah, that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to run away because I felt this guilt and shame.
Right.
But in that moment, whenever I was convicted there, I felt God was with me. I could tell it was God, right? That Holy Spirit
comforting you.
Yeah. So, well, not until I prayed about it.
Yeah.
Not until I prayed about it. So, like, I felt the guilt and shame. But if I didn't trust that God was there, which I did in that moment, turned to God. I prayed for him. I logically knew that he'd be there.
Yeah.
But I had to do it. And I had to then allow myself to experience that closeness. Right. I had to keep praying in that moment to help open myself up to God. Not for God to show up, to open myself up for God, because this has been so mm-hmm. long that I've been struggling with it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, at the end of the day, that's sometimes what our prayer of repentance have to look like. It's us continuing yeah. to pursue God, because that guilt and shame that's yeah. inside us is causing us to hold back fully from yeah. turning to Jesus.
To being completely vulnerable and actually allowing ourselves to say, you know what, this is not okay, and I need to hand this over.
Yeah.
And I love what you said in there. You said that it was the Holy Spirit, it was God who brought this feeling upon you, this conviction for the mm-hmm. wrong that you were doing in your life.
Yeah.
I think often in the Christian world, we have this tendency to think that it is our job to convict people for their sin.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
when
the pastor was not actually talking about this.
Yeah. when we try to do that as believers, it usually, I would say always, doesn't go over well.
Right.
Because we are not powerful enough to convict people of their sin. We right. cannot change people's hearts. It's not our job to save people from their sin. It is not our job to convict them of their sin. Mm-hmm. It is not our job to grow people in their relationship with Jesus. We are not that powerful to do that. As believers, it is only our job to speak the truth clearly, mm-hmm. to love people passionately, and to pray for them with earnest.
Yeah.
And when we try to do God's jobs, we wind up doing a lot of harm.
Yeah.
And you were convicted not by that pastor, but that pastor was speaking right. truth. You were convicted by God.
Now, that at that time, let's say that I had talked to my guys group at the time about this. God might have convicted me there through one of the other believers saying, like, hey, Craig, what you're doing right there is sinful. You need to be mm-hmm. aware of this. Here's the scripture that supports this.
Right.
There are times where brothers and sisters are doing things that go against the word. And for us, when we do talk to them about it, there's a very specific way that Jesus wants us to do it. Wants us to remove that plank out of our own eye first, mm-hmm. right? Wants us to try to really tune in to, like, what is our motive here? How are we going to do it? How are we, you know, we got to be very intentional about how we approach them. But like Matt said, it's God's job to convict, because we aren't going to be able to do that. So we can hold the word out to somebody and God will convict them there in that mm-hmm. moment. And for them, they may be in a place to receive it and they may not be in a place to receive it. That yeah. doesn't mean that we have to accept someone's sinful behavior, right? We don't
have to agree with it.
Yeah, we don't have to agree with it.
We don't have to tolerate that person still in our life.
No. So I think those are important things. And specifically in this arena of repentance, we want to be able to help you as while you're praying and you're going through this struggle to learn to continue to turn towards God. Right, to continue to pray about it, to continue to allow your heart to soften. There is these heartbreaking conversations that I've had with several believers now that they have that in this idea, or they have this idea in their head that if they repent,
mm-hmm.
they'll never turn back to that sin. And
oof.
That is one that's just not true of human beings. Right, sin's going to come for us.
Mm-hmm.
And
look how often the Israelites kept turning back to their old ways absolutely. Towards sin. Right?
Yeah. So the thing is that we will repent, we'll pray about it, we'll get back on that path, and then we might turn back to that other path. So repentance
or a different path that still leads towards mm-hmm. destruction. Right?
Absolutely. So these prayers of repentance, this turning, this getting your heart in that condition, it's a practice that we want to continue to do. It's a submission towards God and the sinful behavior that we're doing, not submitting to the sin, submitting to the acknowledgement that it's wrong and mm-hmm. that it's leading us from God. So, and that we need God's help with it. So it's this constant place that we may enter. And there may be times like where, hey, like you're walking that path and like you're good for a little bit, and then it may come for you. So
I would even say if you think that you're walking that path and you're good, check yourself daily and grow in your awareness of how holy God is. Continue to pray and step into the Word and better understand how He engages with His people. Because the more you understand how holy God is, I think the more you're going to see your sin show up, the more you're going to see how separated you are from Him. And your awareness,
it's an opportunity to come closer.
It is, yeah. Mm-hmm. Your awareness of your sin will grow the more you understand about how holy and beautiful and glorious Christ is. And the same thing happened to Paul in all of his writings. Throughout all of his letters to these different people, you know, he started off at one point saying that he is the least of the apostles, to near the end of his life before he was killed, saying that he was the chief of sinners. And I am just amazed at how his awareness of his sin grew. Was he sinning more at the end of his life? Probably not. He was probably living a fairly holy life, right? Submitting to the Lord. But I think his awareness of his brokenness and his sin grew, and he understood his position, that he needed a Savior for so much of his soul and how it was separated from God. And the same is true of us.
And I think that as we are granted wisdom, we can, God's eternal, God's outside of time. And it's kind of one of the things that blows my mind the most. You guys have probably heard me talk about it. And like once you start seeing it or noticing some of the patterns in Scripture, it's wild that God sees all of time at once. So my sin that happened whenever I was a child of 10 has had repercussions that may spring out for generations. And the thing is that I'm in a state, or we are in a state, of trying to achieve that constant turning towards Jesus, because the more and more that we can get used to that, then the more and more that we may consider the repercussions of our sin, that the guilt and shame that want to take us away, our natural response to hide that from God becomes less of our natural response, and more of our natural response is, God, I remember whenever I was 10 years old and I took, you know, that BB gun and I shot that frog for no other reason than the fact that I could. I can see how that violence it was in me. I could see how that anger grew in me over time, and that desire for power grew into a sharper tongue, to talking people down, to harming people. And I wasn't shooting them with a BB gun, but I was harming them with my words. And so we can take these moments and we can turn that into a prayer to turn towards God.
Totally.
Rather than that pulling away of recognizing of some of the issues that we've had and how it's this distance between me and God, and how that is just so profound. No, we recognize the distance and we want to move towards, we want to turn towards, we acknowledge, repent by praying, turning towards Jesus. It's a beautiful process, and prayer really helps us get in that mindset. So when you're talking about this struggle, it's this prayer to turn towards God, and that's going to include this repentance, this acknowledgement of the gravity, the depth of what's happened. And that isn't to disqualify you. In fact, it's to get you in the position to qualify you to move closer to God. It's in a position of recognizing God's holiness, God's grace, that in your deepest moments of sin and recognition of what you've done, God's grace is like this magnet that's still pulling you towards Him. I think, can you recognize and can you allow that to happen?
Right. I think hand in hand with conviction, mm-hmm. what we have to remember is the cross, that God loves you. He died for you. He wants relationship with you. And that he loves you so much that we can be obedient to him because he already loves us. That we don't obey, we don't follow all these rules in order to get love from God, in order to get this gift of salvation. And I think that makes all the difference whenever to feel godly conviction and to push against shame is to know that, no, I obey because I already have the gift of salvation and love. Yep. I obey out of my gratitude, out of my love for him, out of my thankfulness for what he's given me. Yep. And
my sin is not greater than that.
No, never. And if we can put conviction in its place to know that it doesn't even compare with the love that God has for you, that grace is a magnet to draw you in, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
That old adage, right? That honey catches more flies than vinegar. Yeah. Is that the expression? God's grace is attractive. And if you can keep God and the cross at the center of your focus, I think we have a lot more freedom to feel conviction and not shame.
Right. And so we've been talking a lot about repentance, and I think we've kind of used this language, that these like repentant prayers. And so I would encourage a prayer that you have every day to be about the struggle that you're going through,
mm-hmm.
and this desire to turn towards God with mm-hmm. the acknowledgement of the sin. You talk about the depth of it, right? The emotionally allowing that to show up in you, in your prayer and your crying out to God. And then that turning towards, I would encourage this practice of that. So like when we talk about prayer and action, we're like, all right, brass tacks, rubber meets the road. What are you going to do? Right? What prayers are you going to have when you wake up? Are you going to pray? Like, well, what are you going to structure your day around? And this is a type of prayer. This is a type mm-hmm. of heart space I would encourage you to get into somewhere during the day. Right. Somewhere during that, that time, so that it's a consistent addressing of
absolutely.
The struggle.
I have to do it in the morning, because mm-hmm. the mornings are when I struggle the most and I give in to the whims of what my body is telling me it needs. And I still lay on the couch. I let my son watch TV while I sip on coffee and just try to like wake up and recover. Now, there's grace for my body feeling tired and lethargic and my back hurting after sleeping and having to wake up at 3 a.m. because the other baby was crying, right? Of course, I'm going to be tired. And at the same time, I know that I have more of a proclivity to not engage whenever my body feels this, to not engage and to play and to do the hard work of relationship whenever I don't feel like I have the capacity, whenever I feel like I'm not competent enough or good enough to engage in a way that's going to be encouraging or fun or educational, whatever it may be, that my children might need. And when my feet first hit the floor, I need to say, Lord, I turn from my lethargy. I turn from my fear that I'm not enough. I turn from my laziness. I turn from my dismissal that it's fine and it's all okay. And I turn towards you, knowing that you make me strong, mm-hmm. that you make me good enough, and that whatever effort I can give, whatever attention I can give, is going to be impactful. Yeah. And that where I fall short does not make me a failure, does not make me a bad dad or a bad husband or a bad worker, whatever it may be. And I trust that you are the one who calls me good, that you are the one who makes me good enough, even whenever I can't give everything that I think somebody else needs.
Right.
I need that in the morning, because the mornings are when I, I really struggle the most with it.
Yeah. And how beautiful is that, that praying to God in the moments that we need him the most. It's almost like that's when we need to turn to our Father the most. So like whenever you're going through this prayer action, consider these. Like what are times where I may want to have the more ritualistic prayers where, you know, and ritualistic is what I mean is like this is the times every day whenever I'm doing this, right? So it's paired with something like the meals or like right before bed or something mm-hmm. like that. What are times of the day that I want to have more concentrated effort in prayer?
That's right.
You know, and having an idea, what do I want those prayers to look like? Or do I just want to set that time aside and then I can figure it out in the moment, which is something I do encourage. So that way you're setting up some type of rhythm for you in these mm-hmm. moments. And maybe it's the time that you set aside to look at this workbook, right? And maybe that's a good entryway. And that, whatever this may look like for you, as long as you're creating some type of habit towards doing it every day. It mm-hmm. needs to be done every day. You need to talk to God every day, right?
Yeah.
It's not anything that, you know, at the end of the day, that's how you build your relationship. That's how you connect with God. And if you're not used to talking to God right now, that may seem pretty overwhelming. Allow yourself to do it for you.
Yeah.
It doesn't take up as much time as you think. And it's definitely not going to take as much energy as you may think that it will.
Yeah. And when you fail, or when you turn back to that thing that you've repented of, turn back to God again in prayer that very next day or that evening. Mm-hmm. Because there's nothing so great that can separate you from God's love that you can't come back to him and to say, I have failed and I need your strength. I'm turning back to you. I'm still choosing you. It's not abusing God's grace. I know that many of us in this life, especially in the church and the Christian world, have feared that I'm abusing God's grace if I've repented once and I still choose to do the thing. But guys, this is our human nature and our flesh is that we are going to struggle and struggle and struggle, that we're probably going to have this thorn in the flesh for a long time.
All right. Well, and
it's appropriate to continue to turn back to the Lord.
The idea there is that as soon as I make a slip up, I'm condemned forever. And the problem is that we don't see that in Scripture.
Right.
We don't see that someone makes one mistake and they are forever separated from God.
No.
There are some consequences that, of course,
There are worldly consequences, suffer. Right? Yeah.
And the thing is that often there is this pattern that we are allowed to see in the Word of God to help give us this format. But I think that, as Matt kind of talked about earlier, this maybe his last episode, this kind of like dichotomy, this, you know, legalistic way of people having is that, like, all right, whenever you repent, true repentance is you're never going to turn back to it. And you know what? Hey, there is some type of truth to that, that you might not ever. And some people, great.
Yeah.
But even if you do, if you have a repentant heart and you pray to God, you turn back to God, that's still the same repentance. There's still grace that's sufficient for you there. And the other option is for you to choose not to do that, for you to choose to distance yourself from God, for you to choose that your sin is greater than God's grace and mercy, for you to choose that Jesus dying on the cross wasn't enough, right? So some of you are hearing this, and that gets a little uncomfortable, and really it should, because you are choosing to view God in a certain way. Mm-hmm. You're choosing to view God as less than. You're choosing God to view God not as holy and separate as God has depicted themselves in Scripture. So just know that that struggle is normal. And we want to lean into that struggle. We would always want to lean towards God. Yeah. Always want to turn towards God.
His grace is greater than all your sin.
Yeah. So thank you so much for listening to this. We hope that it answers a lot of questions about prayer. Feel free to reach out if you have other questions. And, you know, we'll talk about prayer more as we go through these other sections inside this step of Connect, where we'll talk about theme studies and we'll talk about, you know, being able to connect with other believers. So yeah, I'll look forward to some of these because, you know, I'm a big fan of theme studies and different things like that, which will be the next part that we'll be able to go into. So yeah, thank you so much for being able to listen to this episode. Just know that we love you and that we're in this with you. We are going through this. That's just right. As we're talking to you about these struggles and handing them over to Jesus. Some that Matt and I are working through too, and it's difficult. It's difficult
right now.
But it's worth the payoff. It is worth the payoff in so many ways. So just know that we love you. We're praying for you. And we hope that you could take care.
Hey, guys. Thank you for tuning in and giving us a listen today to this episode of Handing It to Jesus. We are a not-for-profit organization, and we depend on the donations of people like yourself so that we can keep making podcast episodes like this, and so that we can continue making written content. And so we have provided for you a free workbook that you can find linked right below. You can also find linked our donation page right below. You can also find those links in our bio as well. We hope that through those donations that we are able to continue making more episodes, that we're able to continue making more written content so that you can hopefully grow closer in your walk with the Lord. We ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us in that way, if God lays that on your heart.
Yeah, and a little more about that. I mean, this is something that I personally struggle with financially, in this like scarcity mindset that Jesus has been working on with me for quite some time. And maybe you're a person like me that's been suffering in that way, and where I see different things that I want and it always seems like money is tight. And one of the things that we want to let you know is that part of our walk with Jesus is that Jesus gets us uncomfortable around those things. And so, like, usually what this looks like for me is I have my eye on something new that I want. And then there's a effort, there is a mission, there is a front on the kingdom's effort or something that somebody's doing that I want to put towards. And then I have that like little competition that ends up happening. It's like, all right, do I want to invest towards the kingdom or do I want to go towards this product? And that's super common for Christians to, especially like in our society in today's day and age, to compete with. And so if you're hearing this today and maybe you feel led to give, maybe there's a movement in your heart, like Matt says, pray about that, take that to God and act on it immediately. Immediately go to the donation and whatever God lays on your heart, allow yourself to do that, because maybe God is actually calling you to move forward on this front, to actually give into this battle, this mission that we have here. And if you don't feel that call, that's okay too. You can still enjoy the content. Others may pave the way for you. There are most certainly times in my life where things that I really enjoy and that really help me, that others have paved the way for me. And that's okay. You can still enjoy the content. And God may wrestle with you or may call you to fight on this front in a different way or give in a different way to somebody else. Or maybe, like Matt said, it's actually just spreading the word. It's maybe telling somebody about our podcast. Maybe it's giving us a review in some way to be able to help other believers find this. There is so much content in the world and so many different things that maybe we consume maybe a little too much. And we just want to provide another avenue for believers to put the focus on Jesus, put the focus on that relationship, and to be able to spend that time, whether or not it's in the podcast or some of the written content we have or some of the even ideas that we have for the future. So thank you for joining us in that, whether or not it's you donating to us right now or whether it's you just letting other people know about us existing.
Right. Yeah. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Please subscribe, like, follow, share with your friends, talk about us with other people. We would greatly appreciate that. Thank you so much again, and we love you. We will see you next time.